listening to an Aeon podcast.
Welcome to episode 2 of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. Throughout this series, I've had the exciting opportunity to speak with naturopath, speaker, author and mentor, Jodi Gozard, formerly Jodi Chapman, about finding freedom from anxiety, depression and ADHD. In this episode, we covered how allergies and irritants can exacerbate the symptoms of anxiety, depression and ADHD and discussed how to work out what they are. I hope you find this content as interesting as I did. So Jodi, as we touched on last episode, you began your journey as a naturopath as a result of your own experience with allergies. So tell us again what they were for you and what the common irritants are for many of your patients.
Yes, so I was very unaware as I was growing up what the problems were for me. And for me, they weren't the common allergens that most people experience, although one, I had a quite serious inability to break down dairy. And I learned when I moved out of the state that I lived in, I grew up where there were a lot of trees that I was reactive to environmentally. So there is an environmental response to allergy as well that can exacerbate your food reactions. Actually, it really is the other way around. If you are having food reactions, it worsens your reaction to the environment. So pollens and trees and animals and dust mites and these kinds of things, which is really interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So where I grew up, I couldn't tolerate any dairy and we weren't aware of this at all. And I remember as a child, the doctor once suggested maybe try Jodi off dairy. And I cried the whole way home from the doctor's office and begged my mother not to do that. And so, you know, she was a doting mother and she didn't take dairy away. And had I known back then that it was going to make a huge impact on my migraines, that it might have been a really good decision. But anyway, it was one allergen. I wasn't gluten intolerant that I knew of. At 17 years old, I had a scratch test on both arms and identified that I was intolerant to or allergic to my environment in about 80% of those things that were tested. So I went about 2 years of injections in each arm weekly to desensitize me to those allergens, those environmental allergens, thinking that they were associated with my migraines. And as it turns out, it didn't really help me.
So what sort of injections were they?
It's a form of desensitization that you can see an allergist about, so a specialist doctor about. Mm-hmm. It does have an impact on a lot of people, but for me, it didn't. So I learned later on that if I can change the internal environment of my body and reduce my inflammation, I stop reacting to my external environment. So that's how I target treatment with my patients as well, because it's a few weeks or 1 or 2 months of turnaround rather than years of injection therapy. You know, I just like to shortcut that process for people. So there's a few ways of looking at it. When I finally did get an allergy test, there are a number of different types of allergy tests that you can do. So one will test for IgE, which is the environmental allergen. So it's a lymphatic test. So they scratch the skin and they check the response to allergens put on the skin. The next type is IgG, which is a food response. So it's more of a gut response, gut lining response, which can be checked via a blood spot test, pinprick on the finger, and they can do up to 200 foods or, you know, whatever amount of foods that the particular laboratory offer. The particular test that I like to use was the one that I had the most success from in terms of my response or my improvements because it tests whole blood. So it's looking for cell changes under a microscope detected by laser, as far as I'm aware at the moment, which is amazing, to be able to see the blood cell change size in response to a food being mixed with that blood sample. in a centrifuge.
So is that taken by a needle?
Yeah. Yeah, so three blood vials are taken for this particular test to test 200 foods. So that's a broad amount of foods to be able to then create. I generally ask people to get a broader amount of foods done rather than a lesser amount, because then you've got a whole range of foods that we can see that you're not intolerant to, that we can create a diet out of that you'll enjoy. For me, my first test in that kind of test came back 70 foods out of 200 that I was intolerant to.
Ouch.
Yes. And I had no idea. So you can imagine, I was trying to take away dairy and adding soy milk or rice milk or all of these different kinds of milks over the years when I was trying to guess what I was intolerant to. But it turned out I was intolerant to three other milk sources. And while I didn't get any improvement, it was because I was choosing other things that I was intolerant to. I had no idea. I had no idea that beef is an intolerance for me and comes up on every test that I've had. You can desensitize from your allergens if you follow a bit of a process where you remove the foods, then you restore your gut health, you restore your accurate or healthy gut balance, so your bacterial balance, so you reduce certain bacteria that are harmful and you improve your good bacteria, and you control your histamine levels, which is a brain neurotransmitter which affects mood. And people with high histamine will respond to the environment and to their foods more readily, as well as they'll have genuine food intolerances or sensitivities as a gut response and an immune response. But if you have a high histamine situation in your body, it's actually caused by not methylating or detoxifying histamine out properly. So it's actually a liver problem. And that will make you reactive to high histamine foods without you actually being allergic to those foods. So they won't show up on an allergy test.
Right, that was my next question, if they come up or not.
Yes, no, they don't. So there's many ways that you can react to food. You could have very low digestive enzymes for fruit, for dairy, for casein or whey. In dairy, as opposed to lactose intolerance as well, gluten, because you don't have the enzymes to break the gluten down. That's a completely different kind of intolerance or allergy than anaphylaxis, for instance, which is different again, and to genuine food sensitivities. So digestive enzyme problems, food sensitivity problems, because of foods being able to leak through the gut wall over time and your immune system picking them up and deciding that they're foreign matter, that's how you become intolerant. So that's food sensitivity. And then you have histamine reaction, which is completely different again. So there's a number of ways that you can have problems with food, and identifying all of them for somebody, it sounds restrictive, but it's really not, in that once you get the freedom to understand all of the foods that you can have and creating anything you like out of that, over the period of time of 3 to 6 months, maybe 12 months for some people, you will restore that non-inflamed state in your body that you won't react to those things anymore.
However, can see the benefit, because I imagine you get a lot of people coming in that are surprised and devastated at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Excited to know, but really devastated when they find something that they eat every day is on that list.
Yeah.
You know, but it's something that you only need to work with for a period of time until you stabilize what's going on in your system. And once you do that, you can generally have those things back again. It's a very small percentage of things that you have almost a lifetime intolerance to. For me, it's beef. If I have beef, I will have a migraine almost immediately. And, you know, my migraine history as a child, I've been able to unravel that and found that I had four reasons for migraines. So at the time, muscular neck issues were also a problem. I also get stress migraines. So I have a dump between cortisol and DHEA. If my cortisol rises, my DHEA drops and it triggers a migraine for me. Food intolerance or chemical sensitivity will immediately cause a fluid exchange. So my blood pressure will drop. And when blood pressure drops, that's a really common response to being food allergic, which I'll explain in a minute, but is very important to know. If your blood pressure drops, the blood pressure to your brain drops, the oxygen to your brain then drops, and it has an impact on dropping serotonin and dopamine. And when your serotonin drops, that can trigger a migraine. That was for, in my situation, trigger a migraine, but for other people, triggers depression and anxiety and ADHD and behavioural problems. Mm. etc. So that's why the same causes can create different illnesses in different people. You still need to go back to that cause. So food allergy, for some people, the odd food will never change. You may never be able to have it. But most of them, I went from having 70 foods that I'm intolerant to now down to having about 8. And that's that amazing. Was over about, I've tested myself once every 3 or 4 years. So I don't test very often. It's well worth the test to get done to identify what you're experiencing. But the right test is very important.
You know, obviously everybody notices the commonality, I guess, of gluten-free, dairy-free, nut allergy crazes.
Yes.
Is it just that, a craze?
No. I think it's an immune response to our processes in our Western life.
They just seem to be so common.
Yeah, our food quality, the additives, preservatives, the chemicals we take in over our lifetime from birth, everything that we're exposed to now that we weren't exposed to from the 70s and back have amplified all of these things. So, and then you've got genetics. So there was this incredible study done with cats and possibly dogs as well, but they had 4 generations of cats and they fed one whole 4 generation of cats, one family, foods that included additives, preservatives, etc., and they fed the other family of cats 4 whole generations of whole food that had not been added anything chemical or toxic. And by the 4th generation of one, their fertility rate had dropped quite seriously.
Wow.
And by the other, there was no change in their DNA. So you can change the DNA of family lines through common ingestion of chemicals and toxins.
So it heightens the power of the need to go organic.
I know, but you know, it really is something that is quite difficult for some people with sources, and then you've got, you know, where is it available? Can you afford it?
It's a budget thing a lot of the time.
It's a budget thing a lot because, you know, there's a lot of people who don't have expendable income that can go that way. And there's this amazing idea that you can find on the internet called the Dirty Dozen, which is a way of buying mostly organic and avoiding the Dirty Dozen through what's been sprayed, that's a lot harder to clean and get rid of the preservatives and the chemicals, etc. So if you look up the Dirty Dozen, you'll see the ones to try and buy organic, and then, you know, the other type you get from your normal store.
It's fascinating.
Mm.
As a parent, not educated in the medical world, allergies automatically conjure up images of snotty noses and itchy skin and welts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying children and adults can be affected in other ways, like with their mental health. Can you delve into that a little bit for me?
Oh, absolutely. This is the most important thing for people to know, is that food allergy can affect someone in such a broad way that hives, eczema, dermatitis, all of these is a tiny percentage of allergy. Bloating, diarrhea, nausea, all of those are still a very small percentage of what actually happens with allergy. If you can imagine, when our bodies are first exposed to a foreign matter that it doesn't like, it will give you severe reactions. So you will see it trying to escape the skin through skin rashes, hives, etc. And on another note, that's also a high histamine reaction. So histamine can be reduced to reduce that. The other early signs of allergy is diarrhea and stomach pain, cramping, nausea, vomiting. The body's trying to excrete the product that it doesn't like. It can't do that forever though. So the human body, when you get a gastro bug as well, parasite as well, the human body will initially attempt to remove that product with an acute response. Now, if you continue to feed a child the food that caused that reaction, or as an adult, continue yourself, you'll see a change in the response, because the body will not do acute responses long term because they themselves are life threatening, because they create dehydration, which is a faster type of more acute health problem. So the body will then internalize the response and it will start to develop in different ways. And you might think you've grown out of that allergen, but it's actually now just developing in different ways. So you'll now see over time, fluid retention is one of the most subtle responses to allergy that you may not see right away. But fluid retention is probably the most insidious that I find. And the reason that it is because it affects every system then. So imagine this. Your immune system responds to an allergen or sensitivity in some way. How it does this, I believe, is that it is trying to dilute the product you've consumed. So what I see under measurement of patients who are in an intolerant state is that their lymphatic fluid is greater and their cardiovascular fluid, as in their blood pressure, is lower. So within 10 minutes of eating a food that you're intolerant to, your blood pressure can drop. And you first see it in kids going from the skin reactions, the diarrhea reactions, tummy pain reactions, and then it morphs into you start to see young girls, teenagers or boys at school starting to faint after they eat lunch. Have you ever seen those kids at school who are the ones that they faint during the day and there's no real reason for it? Every patient that I've ever had with that problem, you take them off their food intolerances, it stops happening. So that seems to be the transitional time. It doesn't happen to everybody, but when the blood pressure starts to drop, you know that the body's internalizing the allergen or the allergic response or sensitivity response, etc. So what we see is the blood pressure starts to drop in the younger years. So for the next up to 40 years of age, for instance, you'll see someone says, oh, I've always got low blood pressure. Guaranteed, they've got food intolerances always. Now, the response to that then becomes so, as I said, broad spread in how it affects the body. For some people, that fluid retention in their lymphatics increases their thyroid reaction. The thyroid then has to respond to the fluid that the patient's holding instead of it being the other way around where the thyroid's causing the fluid retention, which is what a lot of people believe is the case. And sometimes can be if the thyroid's thrown out nutritionally, but oftentimes the thyroid responds to the fluid retention and then the thyroid starts to behave in a hypothyroid way. So then we've got patients with unknown thyroid issues or known thyroid issues but unknown cause. And that thyroid issue then causes foggy brain, fatigue, slow metabolism, fluid retention, they can't lose weight, they have no energy, they can't wake up properly. You know, all of these very typical low thyroid problems, and it's happening because of a response to food. So this can go on for years and years. This happened to me in my early 20s when I was having children, or my mid-20s having children, and I had 7 miscarriages between my 2 children. Oh, wow. And they were triggered by, they were very early miscarriages, but they were triggered by, I learned later, at the time I saw a fertility naturopath, who helped me identify that it was my thyroid that was doing this. I learned later when I took it a step back and found that I was eating foods that I was intolerant to, the moment that I retained fluid, that's when my thyroid dropped. So I was actually eating foods in those that I was intolerant to in those early weeks of pregnancy that kept triggering early miscarriages.
Crazy.
Yeah, because your thyroid has a connection with your progesterone production. So if your progesterone is dropping instead of rising when you're trying to kick off a pregnancy, you will have an early miscarriage. So if you can imagine, if it's not during pregnancy that we're discussing, if we're talking about cyclic progesterone levels, this is when if you're eating foods you're intolerant to and your thyroid's a little bit on the sluggish side because of it, every PMS week your progesterone is lower than it should be and you will get PMS symptoms, migraines, moods, you know, all of the issues that come with period problems can be worsened because of eating foods you're intolerant to. So that's just the hormonal aspect, you know. Another aspect, when your blood pressure drops in your cardiovascular system because all the fluid's going out into your lymphatics, in your immune system to try to protect you from that food, that blood pressure then lowers to your brain. So you get low blood pressure to your brain, which then impacts your serotonin and dopamine level on the day for the next 24 to 72 hours. You can suffer depression or anxiety or OCD or hypersensitivity or low self-esteem chronically, or migraine chronically, when you're eating the same foods you're intolerant to every single day. So this could go on for years.
It's fascinating that what I eat, it's just a fascinating prospect. And I think listeners would agree, just the prospect that I'll go and eat lunch and then that could potentially cause me to have those mental reactions.
Yeah. And that reaction is not an inability to make your serotonin and dopamine. So you see, or other neurotransmitters, GABA, acetylcholine, you have the nutrients very likely and you have the capacity to make your brain neurotransmitters like usual, and then you have a reaction that's not allowing it to get to the brain and taking substances that increase your serotonin and dopamine may not be the answer and can potentially cause other problems. So whether that's a natural substance or a medical substance, it may not be the reason for your depression. It can be a trigger, a reaction to the environment. So this is why it's very important for someone with these mental health issues that are daily to understand the cause of it, to know biochemically why it's happening. And you can test it. Pathology testing allow for urine metabolites of brain neurotransmitters, and there are other types of biofeedback type testing that can also recognise levels of brain neurotransmitters.
Okay, so in conclusion, finding out what your allergies are and then getting them under control is basically step one.
Absolutely. So if you can remove the causes first, that's less substances in any way, natural or medical, that you need to take to restore balance, because you're taking away something that's creating the problem. And that's 80% of the job done.
I already feel so much more informed. I'm sure our listeners are the same. Jodie, thank you for passing on your wisdom today.
In the next episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series, Jodie will delve into the intricacies of the gut and how its condition directly affects brain chemical synthesis and subsequently the effects of anxiety, depression and ADHD. If you're enjoying this series, please support us by subscribing to all episodes. If while listening you've had something of a light bulb moment and have the urge to reach out to Jodie, you can contact her via her website, advancedwellness.com.au. And finally, if you're experiencing a personal crisis or are having dark thoughts, please reach out to one of the many services available, such as Lifeline. Lifeline's phone number is 131114.